All right, tell me when to go.
All right, Scotty just walked in. I'm waiting on the other three.
Good morning.
Hey, Scott, I see the Reds are right at the bottom of the Grapefruit League or whatever league they're in already.
Yeah, that's true.
My grandpa was a big Cardinals fan, and back in the 50s, the Cardinals weren't very good. He said every morning he read the paper upside down so the Cardinals would be in first place.
That's good. We may need to try that. I think we just lost another starter for the first 2 months.
Who was that?
That D. Scalfani. He's got owner issue or something.
Is the Bronson Royal back with the Reds?
Yeah, he pitched the other day. He did okay.
Yeah, I saw an article that said he's back to where he was before. Is that good or bad?
Good.
Was he ever any good?
Yeah, he can eat innings. He's not great. He can eat innings. He's good. Patty.
Well, it is. I used to lose sleep over it. Bear with me just one second. I got to get something in front of me.
All right, Rob, Patty will be here in 1 second.
All right, give me 1 second, Howard. I thought I had something in front of me, and I can't put my hands on it. Bear with me.
When's opening day? April 4th? 2 weeks?
In a week from Monday?
April 4th?
That's April 4th. 4th. Like 2 weeks.
April 2nd. Monday.
I don't have my phone.
All right, I'm ready to go. I apologize.
No worries.
Anything that you all would like to talk about before I get started?
Just from our homework last week, Scott and I had two phone calls with the two advisors we're thinking about transferring the accounts to. And after our call, it became pretty apparent where we wanted to go. And we had, like I said, the two good calls. And so we've decided who it's going to go to. They're going to go to Brad and Jeff. They're really excited about it. Sorry, they're really excited about it. And I think it's the right thing to do. They'll be in Cincinnati from time to time. They're younger. It's a better fit for the clients. And so, you know, based on our call last week, that was something we really wanted to accomplish and feel good about the decision and going the right way.
Are those the guys who are the guys in Dayton?
Yes, two young gentlemen. Yes.
Are if they want to meet with clients and your old clients, is there space in Cincinnati for them to do that?
Yeah, there's a meeting room that they have on the other side that they can meet with. Has a conference table and everything.
Good. Now here's the deal with these folks. Here's what I would recommend is that you have a conversation with them around making sure that they have to call everybody.
Right.
They can't cherry pick. They have to. I don't need to repeat it. They gotta treat all these people the way you want them to be treated. How many clients will that be that they have that you're gonna, when you get that done, what would you be down to as far as number of clients?
I'm guessing Scott and I looked at it together and then we looked at it separately. And so far I think we've found about 10 each, so we're probably around 20 so far.
Okay, and what does that bring your number of clients down to?
What'll get rid of, because some of them are related, so it'll probably get rid of 10 to 15 households in total.
All right.
Peter's trying to build a report so we can look at households, and then we have coding by Supernova and Butler and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to work a report that we can run and have those numbers at our fingertips. We can't do that. It's all on Excel right now.
All right. What about the calls? Well, let me go back. I think that's the best thing to do. Young guys that are excited, going to treat those people well. Everybody wins there, Howard. The client wins, you win, and the guys in Dayton win. Not many times that everybody wins, but that's I think that's the best result you could have. And I think what you're going to find is your clients are going to be okay with it also, the ones you're reassigning. And remember, if they don't want – the way you roll this out with them is I can't give you the service I want you to have. You don't right. say I can't give you what you deserve, because then they're going to say everything is okay. I cannot give you the service that I want you to have. So that's a good result. When is the transfer going to happen?
We haven't determined that yet. We just worked on, you know, who was going to be and when, and working through accounts right now.
All right. I don't have to tell you, but I will. The sooner you can do that, the better.
Yep.
That is. Certainly with tax season coming on, it would be nice to be able to have those out of your number so your staff doesn't have to has less work to do.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Tell me where you all are, you and Scott are with the making the calls to your clients and letting them know about the refinements in your practice.
So this is Howard again. I was out 2 days last week, so I got five more. So I'm up to 27 households I've talked to on Supernova.
Okay.
I have another five calls I did last week, so I'm up to 15.
1-5?
1-5, yeah.
Okay. Howard or Scott, any feedback from those calls? You told me some pretty good stories last time. Anything from those calls?
Nothing exciting. I think people are excited. I mean, no one's giving pushback about the monthly. Once you tell them why and what it's about, I think they think, yeah, there's probably something I can do. And the idea of having a perhaps list for them to make ideas and topics to cover. And if it's short, it's short. And if it's longer, it's longer. So I think still most people, I'm surprised that most people don't push back on the monthly.
What do you make up from that? The fact that they aren't giving you the pushback you thought they would give you.
I think they're excited for the, you know, the whole discipline, the proactive, you know, that part of it. I think they're open to it. I was just worried that people are busy and it overwhelms them.
I would also add to some extent, and there's obviously some exceptions, but just looking at the list of my top 20 households, for example, I already speak to them at least once a month. There's a couple exceptions, you know, that I don't. But for the most part, I'm probably in contact with the majority of these people at least once a month. So I think part of that also is that it's not a big, there's obviously some exceptions, but it's not a big change to our conversations in an unscheduled manner.
That all makes sense to me, Scott. The one thing I heard was for the most, you said, these aren't your words, but what I heard is, for the most part, you're talking to these people
right.
on a monthly basis,
right.
which tells me there's some people that you care about who you may not be getting to on a monthly basis. But
correct.
What you just told
Absolutely.
Me is what you've told me is better than most. Remember that you are doing this for a couple of reasons. One, the one it's you're branding your practice. This is what you offer. They may not take you up on it every month. They may have at times they're going to have to reschedule. But this is who you are. When they're talking to their friends, one of the things they're going to be able to say about your team is that you offer monthly contact, monthly schedule contact. Our experience with Supernova is the number one driver of client satisfaction is proactive FA contact. So you're just putting in stone what clients really want. I've got a lot to cover today, but nothing more important than what we're doing right now. We're in week 8. Your kickoff is still April. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. April is sneaking up on us. We're almost halfway there. Tell me where you are in the scheduling area. When are those scheduling calls going to start to be made?
Where are you and Peter on the scheduling practice you guys did?
He's asking when you're going to start.
I know, but we can't start until you tell us it works.
We have not met. Okay. We have not met.
We'll give you an answer next week.
I didn't hear what Patty said.
We have not met. We have not.
Peter and Patty, if you remember our call last week, Peter and Patty were going to meet and test ACT to Outlook to see how it connected and worked. And they didn't do that, so they're going to do that this week.
Okay. Here's a question I want to get answered or get clear. The two of you have talked to 42 people.
Yeah.
They understand that they're going to be called and they're going to be scheduled. When are you going to start making those calls to the clients and getting them into the scheduler? I heard what you said about you haven't met yet, but what's your plan here? We got to get this right. We can't really move forward until everybody is comfortable with the process.
I guess I was thinking, I didn't think it through all the way. I guess I was thinking we're starting April 1, but in your mind you meant making calls starting April 1. I was thinking we're starting the process. So I guess I get your point, though. If we're not ready to start scheduling until next week, can they get the schedules in for those first couple weeks? I don't know. How hard is it to schedule into the system? Is it hard? Okay. Pretty simple?
It's very simple once I know your schedules.
Okay.
Well, we talked about the ideal day, and Patty needs to know, and I know this is redundant, but got to do it. She needs to know where she can't schedule if you've got a civic lunch once a month, Howard, or you don't want to work on Fridays, when do you want to start your day? When do you want your day to be over? She can't schedule until she knows what she's scheduling against.
Yeah. I thought we were going to do ideal day today. Did we do it last week?
We've talked about it. We've talked. Pardon?
We went over how to reschedule someone, you know, but we didn't talk about an ideal day. We talked about they're going to have to give me that information, but nothing specific.
Okay. Well, I've got in my notes, and I'm not above being wrong, but I've got on notes. We covered it last. We touched on it last week. It doesn't matter, Howard. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing that you and Scott have to give to Patty is she's got to know what I said. I mean, let's have a little bit of that conversation, Howard. When do you? Are there times that you can't have Patty schedule? I mean,
just a few like investment committee meetings I have quarterly, so I can give those to her. So I'll work on that this week. So as they're working on the scheduler, Scott and I will give Patty what our ideal day looks like before the end of the week.
Like if you don't have calls 9 to 10,
those types
of things.
We can do that.
Okay. And you know, when do you want your day to start?
Right.
When do you want your day to end? And no confusion. When I say end, that's when the last call ends, not when the last call starts. Once you got that, then Patty starts making the calls, and Patty, you start with your best clients because you always want to give them the most flexibility.
Absolutely.
Got it.
All right.
We can do that.
All right. All right. I know you can, and I'm going to take total responsibility for not being clear last week. All right. Now, let me do something here that's really elementary, but it's important that everybody see it. If you would write down just say 9-10, and then underneath that 10-11, and underneath that 11-12. Those are 9 to 10 o'clock, 10 to 11, and 11 to 12. Remember, as you think about how you want your schedule to look, that if you had three calls scheduled, Howard, and they went from they started 9, 10, and 11, two-thirds of those calls are going to be non-review month calls. I know we've touched on this before, but I want to make sure it's clear in everybody's mind. One of the questions I get is, you know, what happens if something happens during the day? Somebody calls in an important client or whatever. If you look at your calendar, it would look like you were out of pocket from 9 to noon. You get that?
Yeah. Right.
But two-thirds of your calls are going to be non-review calls that will take 5 to 15 minutes, more like 5 to 10. If they go longer than that, that's usually a good thing. So just on an average basis of these 3 hours, it looks like you're scheduled. You have a review in there that, let's say it's going to take an hour. The others are going to take 10 minutes. So while in that block of 3 hours, it looks like you're tied up, you're actually only tied up for about an hour and 20 minutes. Do you get that?
Yes.
So there's plenty of time in what looks like a full day to return calls, to have time to think, whatever. Any questions on that?
No, that makes sense.
All right. Patty, Peter, is there anything that you need other than the ideal day from Howard and Scott? Is there anything you need in order to start the schedule?
No.
Peter?
No, good.
All right. Okay, anything else you all, I got other things I want to talk about. Anything else around the scheduling, the organization, anybody wants to talk about?
All good.
All right. Okay. This is week 8. We want to get started on acquisition here as quickly as possible. I ask you to have a total of 2 items for each of the 3 categories in your practice overview. We touched on this not last month, but the month before. You remember the format, Scott, of the practice overview?
Yeah.
All right. I asked you to come up with 2 items for of those 3 categories: your basic beliefs, what clients can expect from you, and what you expect from clients. What do you got?
For basic beliefs, honesty, integrity, respectability, common culture.
Respect. What'd you say? What was the other one?
Honesty.
Integrity. Respect. What was the fourth one?
Responsibility. Respectability.
What does respectability mean?
Well, respectability among your clients and your peers, to their
reputation.
Well, not necessarily reputation, but respect to your day to day activities and politeness and just your normal ability to get along with people.
So treating people with respect is what you're talking about.
Right.
Okay. And what about? Okay. Yep. I got it. What about common culture? I don't understand that.
Well, again, you know, I think as a business, we want to have a culture, and maybe it kind of, you know, similar to the respect thing, but we want to have a culture where everyone feels comfortable with expressing their ideas, and that we listen to what everyone says, and that, you know, we're open-minded and pleasant to work with, and people enjoy coming to the office here, and that it's a culture and an atmosphere that is common for everyone doing their work and enjoying what they do.
All right, got it. All right, anything, Howard, you would add to that?
I don't know if it was last time or not, when I put relationships matter, I think. And then I just had some more stuff, and once again, I got confused about what was business beliefs and basic beliefs. I just had some tenets of what we think about how we do our job, and I don't know if those are basic beliefs or not. I don't know if you want to be more higher level.
Give me what you have, and let's decide where they go.
So I had one: success begins with understanding the client's core values and goals.
All right.
And then I got into strategic asset allocation is the foundation for helping and preserving wealth.
Okay.
Avoiding or minimizing losses improves the compounding power of wealth.
Say that again.
Avoiding or minimizing losses improves the compounding power of wealth. Those are more business beliefs, and I didn't know if that's where you wanted to go.
I think there's some good stuff here. Avoiding losses improves compounding. Give me the rest.
Avoiding or minimizing losses improves the compounding power of wealth.
Okay, got it. All right.
One more I forgot. This is Scott. The client comes first.
Who said that last time?
I know, but I still believe it.
Well, we don't need to say it again.
Well,
yeah.
It was on my list. My thing. Oh.
Yep. All right. What about client? What can clients expect? Think about your basic service model here.
Rapid response. In a 24-hour period of time.
Yeah.
Intergenerational financial planning.
Fully.
Monthly calls. Sorry, go ahead.
Monthly scheduled contact.
Right.
Multi-generational and fully implemented planning.
Right.
All right. What else?
You got rapid response to your inquiries within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Monthly calls, quarterly calls, and face-to-face interaction. Asset management. And to deal with complex financial markets.
Say that again, Scott.
Asset management.
Yeah.
In dealing with the complex financial markets that we deal with. And
all right.
the last thing I have is working as a team and coordinating with your CPA attorneys and other insurance agents, other key professionals.
Okay. All right. Now, that last one, Scott, I like it better in the third category, what you expect of clients. And that the way I would put that is introduction to your other trusted professionals so that we can be part of a coordinated effort. I like putting that there because that's what you want to be introduced to their other professionals. Am I right?
Yeah. I see that point.
Yeah, I'd rather put the burden on them.
Right.
Howard, what you gave me about basic beliefs, one of these, the strategic asset allocation,
yeah.
I think that goes under what clients can expect.
Okay.
All right. What else do you want from, what else do you expect from your clients?
Well, I think last time we talked about full disclosure, transparency,
yeah.
keep yeah. abreast of any material changes, and then I had the part you just said, introduction to the other trusted professionals.
Okay.
Update us with any financial major healthcare changes. Okay, we said that. We expect our clients to return in a timely manner any requested documentation and material that our associates send to them. We expect our clients to respect our associates. And we expect our clients to give us referrals.
All right. This is your practice overview. I'm not a fan of putting that in there because
I would agree. I would agree. I just, you know.
Yeah,
I like pointing it out. I agree. I understand
yeah.
what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's better done through other things we'll talk about later on. But it all leads there.
Right.
Anything else, Howard, that you would add to what you expect?
No. I think it's good.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the template that I sent you, and I'm going to fill it in with the things we've talked about here. I might massage a few words, but what I would like for you all to do, I've been grading your work. I'm going to put it together. I want you to grade my work and make any changes. Now, also, you remember from that practice overview, there's a space up at the top for you to talk a little bit about yourself and what you do. So
yes.
when I send this to you, it's going to look really rough. I want you to look at the three areas, basic beliefs, what you can expect, what we expect, massage those, and do a little bit of the work around what goes at the top of the practice overview. You're going to find this is really, really effective with centers of influence, with existing clients, and with prospects. All right. Now, having said that, I want you to do that work on your practice overview. The most important thing you can do going forward before the next meeting is to continue to make those calls to your clients and get ready to start the scheduling.
Yep.
That's that. Let me see. You got a couple more minutes, folks?
Yeah, I got five.
Okay, good. So do I. All right. The other thing, and don't need to drill into it, I ask you to put together more centers of influence. Last week, each of you, Scott talked to me about Mark, who's an attorney with a major insurance company. Howard, you talked about a doctor, Lisa, who is passionate about what you do. She's giving you a couple of good referrals. What I would like for you to do for next week, if you've got time to do it, is to come up with each of you come up with five more people that you think would be centers of influence.
Okay. Just a quick story on Lisa. So she's opening her practice, her new building in May, and I got an email from her or a letter from her from her office. She's asking 5 to 10 other professionals if they want to be a sponsor for her company, and you get exclusive rights in your industry. So I'd be the only financial advisor, wealth person, anything like that related. And so you'll be in her materials. You'll be on her she has like a TV screen in the office that plays stuff. They'll have your picture, and you'll be on your website. And it's like $700 a year to be a sponsor. And so Scott and I talked about it. I talked to the manager, and I got to get compliance approval, but I think we're going to do it. And I think it could be she runs a boutique medical practice where you have to pay a fee to be a member, and she's only got 300 patients, but it's the right type of patients who are looking for advice and guidance. And so it's that type of clientele that would probably be a great fit for us. So it'll be an interesting thing. We'll start here in May.
I think she's a concierge doctor.
Yes.
I go to a concierge doctor. It's the most amazing thing, Howard. I mean, you can call that guy. He calls you back. It's amazing.
Yeah.
There's quite a correlation between a concierge doctor and what you all are doing. That's not right. Lost on you. Probably not lost on her either. I think that's a great. I think that's a great idea. All right. So, quick summary. Get the schedule. Get it firmly in your mind how you're going to get this scheduling done, when you're going to start. Continue to call the clients. That's the most important thing you have to do. If you don't get anything else done in the next between now and the next time we talk, I'll be happy. That's number one by far. If you've got time, look at this practice matrix, a practice overview I'm going to send to you. And then if you have time, jot down. You don't have to, I want you to have 6 centers of influence, 5 additional. If you don't have another 5, just jot them down. If you got a couple, we can talk about. All right?
Sounds like a week.
And on top of that, continue to run a big practice.
Right. We got it.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Go Reds.
Thank you.
Go Reds.